Praise the Lord. We'll go ahead and get started. Let's pray, shall we? Father, we know that you are the God of comfort. Please change us with your word today. Make us into fully committed servants. Help us to be all that you want for us to be. Enable us to be faithful believers, trusting only in you, Lord, most especially when everything goes wrong in the world. Help us to honor and obey you no matter what. We pray in Christ's name, and all of God's people said, amen. You know, in this series of messages, we've learned that Christ wants his followers to remain watchful. He, in fact, instructs his followers to remain watchful. But as we look forward to his return, all manner of evil seems to be unleashed upon the world. We know that there was evil at that time. In fact, they said there many antichrists had come at that time, during the time of the writing of the Holy Scriptures. But now, we're seeing evil unlike anything we've ever seen in this land. Now, there are people all over the world that are being persecuted for their faith. And it's a sad reality. There are people that are being harmed greatly, some losing their property, some losing their lives. Like these folks in Sutherland Springs, Texas. There are unsettling things happening with greater frequency. It was just 6 weeks earlier when 58 people were killed and 489 were wounded in a murderous attack in Las Vegas. And we spoke about that. The increased number and intensity of these events, these horrible events, can be difficult for us. It can be hard on us. And it's a strong reason for us getting deeper into the Word of God. Many passages there provide words of encouragement to us and for us. But sadly, for many, God's Word has fallen out of favor. It sits, even though it's the best selling book of all time, it sits gathering dust in many homes today. That's a sad, sad fact. A lot of people own Bibles, but not many are reading them. But in its place, we find all manner of everything and anything else, falsehood, illusion, and even fiction. I like fiction. I have no harm in it, in many cases. But it can't replace the Word of God. It must not replace the Word of God. We have big screen, high definition televisions. We have tablets. I don't happen to have mine today. We'll be actually reading from the book. It's God's will. We have telephones that rule the day. And you go anywhere and you see folks looking at their phone. And some of you are guilty, but I am too sometimes. I don't have a smartphone. I have a dumb phone. You flip it open, you push some numbers, and you can call people. But very often, these same devices bring us horrible truth, and that truth can shatter our confidence. Where's God in this? How could somebody do this? How could this happen? And when that horrible truth shatters our confidence, like those recent church murders, we have to turn to God for comfort. We must. And where do we find him? Well, we find him in his word, first and foremost. We find him in prayer. We find him in fellowship with other believers who recognize the truth of God's word. And all of this, tribulation, if you will, is what prompted this series of messages. Because as I look across the world, as I listen to people, and I've seen videos, and I don't recommend that you go to YouTube and look for videos on Christian persecution, because there are some very horrific things happening all across the world. But these are perilous times. We need to have God's word in the front of our minds as we endure them. I want us to open our Bibles to the first chapter of 2 Corinthians. First chapter of 2 Corinthians is page 777 in the Pew Bible. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. We're going to read through verse 5. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in Achaia. Grace to you, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. And that's where we'll stop our reading. We trust the Lord to bless the reading and hearing of His Word. And I would like for us to pray again. Almighty God, please hear my prayer. We need your comfort, Father. We need your truth. We know we can find it in your word. Take me and use me today, Lord. I'm powerless to speak without you. I surrender. I need you. Please anoint me with your sanctifying grace to speak your words. You are all powerful. Make your power over our souls known to each of us here today and those who will be listening, either by CDs or online. And Lord, I ask that you would help us to be watchful in these troubling times. Deliver us from evil. Thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. Thank you for your love. Keep us, Lord, from taking them for granted. Please pour your Spirit upon all who hear these words. Use my preaching in your might. Let me not use enticing words of man's wisdom, that our faith would not stand in the wisdom of men, but in demonstration of your Spirit and your power. Let your will be done here today, I pray, in Jesus' mighty and matchless name. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 2 through 5 is the text that I chose. The first verse is Paul's greeting. Paul had been there to Corinth. He had served that church. And between his first letter and this letter, there was another that got lost. And in that letter, he gave, it's understood, a strong admonition to these people because they had strayed from the faith. They had allowed false teachers to come in among the flock. Paul was very upset. When he went there, they rejected him. This was a church that he had birthed. These were people that he loved. He had a big heart. He loved the churches that he started. He wanted them to be on the right path, but they'd gone the wrong way. And so when he wrote this, he was writing with a heavy heart. And he's speaking not just to them and not just to us, but to himself. He's saying, blessed be the God of all comfort, because he needed to be comforted. He was hurt, and he was feeling that pain. People had betrayed him. And so as he goes into his dialogue with these people, before he finished writing, he reunited with the young man that had gone there, and he gave him the good news, and so the book changes character. It changes its direction a little. He's pleased to hear that they, not only did they change their ways, they repented of the evil, of the wickedness, of the wrong, they also welcomed him back. And so as we look at this, we see there's a parallel between today's church and the church of that day. There's a time when sometimes things don't go the way that we'd like them to go, and we need comfort. And I know that the folks there in Sutherland, Texas are grieving greatly. They have to have funerals. It's hard for us when we have one funeral, but they have to have them back to back. One after another. Many funerals. That is a grievous thing. And some of them might be tempted to say, where's God? He's turned his back on us. He's not here for us. How could this happen? And some of us might be tempted to think the same thing. As we think about that, and other tragedies that have taken place, ministers who've been murdered as they were speaking in the pulpit. Church members who have gone awry. There's one thing that I can say that the young man who did this needed, and that was Christ. It's clear he did not have Christ. He may have attended church services, but he was without Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father. He starts out many of his letters that way. 18 times in the New Testament we hear this phrase, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's written in different ways, but it's essentially the same thing, 18 times. And I want you to let that soak in for a moment. I want you to just close your eyes just for a moment. And I want you to hear what the Spirit speaks to your soul. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. What are grace and peace to you? I had to look the word grace up because so many people say so many things. I looked it up in the old Webster dictionary because, you know, I kind of trust Mr. Webster. He made a dictionary about that thick with definitions of words, okay? He was thorough. I like that. I like thoroughness. Now, I may not use everything that Mr. Webster said that that word means, but as it applies to our lives and the way that it comes from Scripture, that I will use. Grace, he says, is the free, unmerited love and favor of God. And he continues. He doesn't just stop there. He continues. And many people, when they say, well, grace is the unmerited favor of God, they don't go on. And Webster does. He says, the spring and source of all the benefits that men, he means people, receive from him. So, Paul is saying, grace to you the free, unmerited love of God and favor of God, to you the spring and source of all the benefits you will receive from him, to you favorable influence of God. Because Webster continues. He said, it's the divine influence or the influence of the Spirit in renewing the heart and restraining from sin. Now, who knows that it's a sin not to trust God? I know it's a sin to not trust God. I've been there. When the whole world comes crashing in, we are tempted immediately to say, where is God in this? When everything wants to go wrong, when everything seems to go wrong, as Chris and I were preparing to take our leave for 2 weeks, I won't tell you everything that happened. I'll just tell you the big stuff. Our former home is rented, and the gas company's digging up the gas line out in front of the place to replace it all, and they wanted to move our meter because they didn't like it being under a window, so they wanted to move it over, and when they did that, they cranked the pipes, and then when they came in, they found some little leaks. I told you all this, I think, before. Well, that happened as we were preparing to go away, and the woman didn't have heat, and the forecast was calling for cold weather. As we were heading into warmer weather, the forecast here was calling for cold weather. And so we had to get that furnace running. That was one big thing. And then they broke the water line. And the water line had to be replaced. And when they did that, they put plastic line in instead of metal line, and that broke the electric ground, and we had to get ground rods installed. Because it needed to be done anyway. Truth be told, and I praise God. That's another big thing. It was a water line broke in behind a wall. It was capped for 25 years, and the cap blew off, and it just flooded that little bathroom down there. Now, do you think for a minute the devil wanted me to get some rest? I'll tell you, no, he did not. He didn't want me to be comforted. Oh, no, no, no. Then the wall had to be ripped out, and then it had to be put back after the plumbing was fixed. Those were some of the big things. And that went on all the way up until 2 days before we were scheduled to leave. Now, I'm looking at our departure date, and I'm looking at all this stuff that needs to be done, and I'm saying, Lord, I've got to put it in your hands because I can't do it. And he brought us right through it, all the way up to that last moment. And then as we're leaving Shakora, I get a telephone call. Previously, I had received an email that said, we're going to be delivering these coolers for the food cupboard, and we're going to be doing that on whatever day, someday, later. But no, it turned out that they delivered them that day, and there was nobody there to receive them. So I had to frantically make some phone calls and find somebody who could get up there that had a key that could get those coolers and put them inside the building. And on the day we were coming home, we were delayed in leaving, and on the day we were coming home, we were supposed to be making the order. So now we still have things to try to fix now that we're back. And the house has still got some problems we have to take care of because the gas company's still out in front digging things up. Does God want me to have comfort? Absolutely. Does the enemy? No way. I give you those things just to let you know I understand the need for comfort. Now, obviously, that doesn't compare to having a mass murder in our church, okay? That's nothing in comparison. But I understand how all of our lives can be affected by circumstances that are beyond our control that can take us out of that place of comfort. I get it. I know it firsthand. But he says, peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. It's to you. You. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 9, the Lord says, my grace is sufficient for you. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 20, we hear the application of Christ's righteousness to sinners. It's where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. God's grace far exceeds our sin. Grace is a state of reconciliation to God. It's found in Romans chapter 5 and verse 2. Grace is a natural virtue of our Creator who generously offers His affection to everyone equally. For God so loved just me? God so loved the world. He loved the world so much that He sent His only begotten Son that whoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. And therein is hope. And therein is comfort. Grace is that aspect that comes from spiritual instruction. It comes from improvement. It comes from learning. That's what the Scripture tells us. Ephesians 4:29 lets us know that we are to preach the Word, not funny stories. No, it's okay to give something that lightens the spirit. But the Word tells us to preach the Word. And so yours truly, as everybody knows, preaches the Word. And sometimes it's hard on us. Sometimes God's Word is not comforting because He confronts us. And He says, look, this is where you are, but this is where I want you to be. I love you where you are, but I don't love you enough to leave you there. I love you more than that. I love you so much that I want you to come out of that place. I want you to be in a new place. I want you to be my child. That's what God says. What we say and preach and teach impacts others for eternity. And that's what 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 13 tells us, that grace is eternal life. It's our final salvation. Our minds must be clear, the Scripture says. We must be sober-minded. Instead of placing our hope in human means of pleasure and satisfaction, we are to place our hope fully upon the grace that's to be brought to us at the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Even our protection comes from the grace of God. Peace to you. Peace to you. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In a general sense, that word peace means a state of quiet or tranquility, freedom from disturbance or agitation. Freedom from disturbance or agitation. Think about that. We're not disturbed or agitated by the passions like fear and terror, anger, anxiety, and other things like that. We have quietness of mind, calmness, quiet of conscience. Our conscience is even settled in that state of peace between us and God. Christ makes peace between us and God. We don't make that peace. Only He can make that peace. And there's a place for us in the center of His will that brings that kind of peace. But the Scripture tells us, therefore, having been justified by faith, it's written in Romans chapter 5, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Oh, no, come on. The Scripture doesn't say we glory in tribulations, right? Come on. Oh, it does. Not only that, we don't only rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, but also in tribulations, knowing, and here's why, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance. As God allows us to be tried, we become stronger. We become better able to get through it, to get through the next one, because the world is full of persecution and tribulation. Jesus said so. Jesus said, in the world, you will have tribulation. Perseverance then leads to character, and character then to hope. Wow, that's pretty cool how God set things up, isn't it? Okay, so He allows us to be put through these hard times and these situations so that we will eventually have hope in Him, not in us, because He gets us through those things. And as I was going through all that stuff before we went to our rest time, there were a lot of things that I did not understand how we were going to get through them. But after we got through them, I looked back and said, God knew. He knew. I can put my hope in Him, not in me. That peace, Webster tells us, is freedom from agitation. And Psalm 119 tells us heavenly rest, the happiness of heaven. That's what the peace of God is, that peace that passes understanding. James tells us in chapter 3 and verse 18, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Grace and peace to you. That's who the Scripture is speaking to today. Yes, of course, He was speaking to those people in Corinth at that time. But that passage of Scripture relates to each and every one of us, as do all the other 18 total passages that say grace and peace to you, to you, to you, to you, to you. Grace and peace to you. That's the Scripture speaking to you. That is your Heavenly Father. That is your Creator. Grace and peace to you. And from Christ, our commander. I ask, do we heed this greeting when we receive it? Grace and peace to you? I don't always. I'm sorry. Sometimes the circumstances are so overwhelming, I forget. I'm prone to forget. And I'm sorry about that, too. But you know what? I remember at some point in time, I get back to the roots of Scripture, and I remember grace and peace to you, to me, to all of us. When we were enjoying that much-needed time of rest last week and we heard about these murders in a church house in Texas, I was just shocked and horrified, and that gave way to anger and frustration and concern. But now, as I was preparing this message, I was reminded of the Scripture where Jesus said, in the world you will have persecution, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. That's found in John chapter 16 and verse 33. John also wrote in his first epistle, whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Our faith overcomes the world. Our faith well placed in Christ our Lord. Our faith placed in our holy Creator. Who is he who overcomes the world, John continues, but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You believe that Jesus is the Son of God? I affirm I do. I believe Jesus is the Son of God, and therefore I have my faith placed where it needs to be. Whoever, it's written in 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, whoever believes that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, Yeshua, the Messiah, his Hebrew name, is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. So, if you love the Father, you also love the Son. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome. This is an outgrowth of our faith, obedience to our Father. And that produces peace. It's so simple. You see, our obedience is what God wants. And that's what empowers us to overcome temptation to not trust God. As we obey. Jesus said, be not afraid. In the world you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. When we remember that, then these things that happen, like this recent shooting in a church, yes, they disturb us. But we can hold on to our faith. We can hold on knowing that our God is the God of creation. His Spirit who dwells within us guides us to obey Him. In Philippians chapter 4, we hear, be anxious for nothing. For nothing? I asked that question, for nothing? Seriously? Come on, God. For nothing, he says, for nothing, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, reaching up to God. By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Thank you, Father. Oh, that's hard sometimes, isn't it? Whenever things aren't going quite right, it's hard to say, thanks, God. But he's looking out. Somehow, there were circumstances, I could tell you a long story about some circumstances that happened. Boom, 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 boom. Everything seemed to be going right, then bam, it went wrong. But then suddenly, I realized that that was the best possible thing that could happen. And it's hard to realize that when we're going through it, it's hard in our lives to realize that that's the best possible thing that can happen. And sometimes God allows those things so that we will turn to Him. Be anxious for nothing. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, if we give thanks to God, even in the midst of trials and tribulations, in the midst of troubles. I'm sure the folks there in Sutherland, Texas are having trouble today. It was just 1 week ago that they suffered this tragedy. But it tells us in Philippians chapter 4, a little further there, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, the Word of God is true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue and if there's any praiseworthy things, meditate on them. Find the good things to meditate on. Turn the news off. I put my finger like I'm pushing a button. There's no buttons anymore. I grew up when there were buttons on TVs that you could turn them off and on. Hit the button. Turn the news off. Don't meditate on those things. Yes, it's good to know the things that are happening. But don't meditate on them. Meditate on those things that are praiseworthy. Meditate on the Word of God, is what he's telling us. Meditate on those things that are true. What is true? God's Word is true. Jesus said he's the way, the truth, and the life. Meditate on Christ, and you'll have peace. Jesus said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. That is an instruction and a command. Don't let your heart be afraid. No matter what happens in the world, don't let your heart be afraid. When we return to that passage we started with in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, we hear of God's comfort. Let's open there again. It's page 777. I want you to read along. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And we'll begin with verse 3, read through verse 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's giving praise to God there. The Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble. What? We're to comfort others? We're to take what we get from God and give it to someone else. Isn't that just like God? He gives us love. He says, give it away. You can give it away and still keep it. It's the same with his comfort. You can give his comfort away and you can keep it. And as he goes on, he says, you may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Praise him. Praise him. Give him praise. He gives praise. And remember, he was in a tough situation at that time. That church, as he was writing this part, this very beginning, he's still in mind of that rejection that he had received from Corinth. But he praises God, Almighty God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's our compassionate Father. He's the God of comfort. That's what Paul tells us. He tells us he's our almighty heavenly Father who gives us comfort in tribulation. Remember, Jesus said he would not leave his followers orphans, but instead he promised to send the Comforter. And he also said the Father would send the Comforter. And I believe it's four places in Scripture where we hear of this Comforter who's called the Holy Spirit. The Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, it's written in John chapter 14, verse 26, whom the Father will send in my name. He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. He told his disciples, be cheerful, be peaceful, be at peace, because I'm going to send the Comforter. The Comforter is going to remind you. He's going to bring you all truth. He's going to teach you all truth. He's going to remind you of what I taught you. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 5, we hear, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. You know, many or maybe all of Christ's followers have hard times. Tribulations, trials, tough things that happen to us. You're late for work and the car won't start. That's a tough thing. I mean, in our day, in this country, our troubles are different maybe from other places and other times. But we have troubles. And I'm not saying that those troubles compare in any way, shape, or form to that murder that took place in the church in Sutherland, Texas. But even when we are in those tough times and those troubling times come, we must be prepared to rely on Almighty God to get through it. We live in a fallen world. Remember, we also have the good times of God's healing comfort, not just troubles. Remember those times when God got you through before. Keep those things in mind. As he said in that previous passage we read, think on these things. Think on those things. When God came through, when God made a way, when you couldn't see a way for yourself and God made a way out, think of those things. We have to hold on to those times of heavenly comfort. As Paul spread the gospel and brought people into the family of God, he and his companions shared in the terrible sufferings of Christ. He bore the marks in his body. He was stoned. He was whipped. He was shipwrecked. Paul went through a lot of trouble to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. He knew what it was like to be persecuted. They were confronted and challenged, beaten and harmed in many ways by non-believers and professing believers. That's the hard part for most of us, I think. Who would want a brother or sister in Christ to harm us, right? We wouldn't even expect it. We would never expect it, and yet it happens. We wouldn't expect anybody in the congregation to harm the people of the congregation. And I'm guessing, I don't know for sure, but I'm guessing that the folks there in Texas did not expect this young man whose wife and family attended to do harm to them. I'm thinking they didn't think that. Paul said when they suffered for Jesus, it worked out for others' healing and salvation. I know that God does not forsake us. I pray for those folks to have comfort, the comfort of God. Paul said if he and his companions were treated well and given help and encouragement, that benefited others too. And I believe that the little notes that we write to those folks there in Sutherland, Texas at the First Baptist Church, I believe that those little words that we send, even though it may be just a sheet or two of paper, that somehow it's going to bring comfort to those people as we share in their grief, as we share in their loss. As those people mourn the loss of life, believers in this land are faced with uncertainty too. We might struggle with the fear that this murderer has placed in the hearts of church members across this land. Because after all, if it could happen in a little church in Sutherland, Texas, it could happen anywhere. You know, public records reveal that that murderer had a troubled past. He had domestic violence issues and animal cruelty issues that were dealt with by the courts. It seems he targeted that church because his wife's family attended there, not because he was anti-Christian necessarily, although it's obvious that he was not for Christ. One of the people that was killed was his wife's grandmother. You know, as of Friday, there were almost a dozen who were still hospitalized. It was 11, I think, that were still in the hospital. The people planned to demolish the building. Could you imagine? You meet in a meeting house, and then this meeting house, because of a tragedy like that, is torn down. That would hurt the heart of the people. They're accustomed to meeting in this place, and now it is a horrible reminder of what happened to them. None of us would want that to happen anywhere. We certainly wouldn't want it to happen here. But the truth is, it could. As we move nearer to the day of the Lord, we will see more and more violence, even against Christians, even in this land, unfortunately. The days of church as usual are over, folks. I have no doubt in my heart about that. The days of showing up, taking your seat, and just going through the motions are over. We must, as we spoke at our ministerium meeting the other day, right down here in our fellowship hall, one of the pastors said, we need to be missional. We need to be out there reaching people for Christ. And I agree wholeheartedly. In fact, yours truly does do that. We've got some engagers here. If anybody wants to invite anybody to the church, John, would you be glad, or maybe Jim? Jim, Jim's one of our deacons. Can you share these? Anybody who wants one, put your hand up. Jim will get those to you. Ask somebody to come. Ask somebody. Invite somebody to join us. You can have as many of those as you like. I have 500 of them. You take as many as you like. I only made up 50 for this morning. But invite people. Invite people that you know are not fellowshipping. Invite them to visit with us. We have to be missional. There's too many people that don't know Christ. There's too many people that aren't fellowshipping that do know Christ. So much of the church has caused harm in the body of Christ. We need to be those that show others. We need to reach out with that hand of love. We need to reach out with that hand of comfort. We need to reach out with that hand of peace. We need to reach out with that hand of God's grace and draw people into His presence. We're all called to be watching for His return and telling others. As we live and breathe, we have chances to not only live as followers of Christ, and there are many people that say, well, I just live my life the best I can. And other people will see that I live. Yeah, they do, but you know what? That's not enough. That's not what Jesus did. He didn't just live His life the best He could. If He did, we'd never have heard of Him. And neither did Paul. Neither did the other apostles. Neither did those that they sent out. Nobody just lived the best life that they could so everybody could see how wonderful they lived and they'd want what they had. They told them about it. They invited them. And that's what we're to be doing. Maybe if somebody had reached out to that young man, maybe, just maybe, and I don't know that they didn't, but maybe had he been converted to Christ, this tragedy could have been avoided. We can give the eternal hope of Christ to the souls that He bought. There's at least three passages of Scripture that refer to Christ buying souls. And if He bought them, as I always say, folks, doesn't He deserve to get what He bought? And if He sent us to go collect what He bought, aren't we to be going out collecting what He bought? Isn't that what we're to be doing? Of course it is, because He said to. We're instructed by our commander to share the comfort that we receive. Let us, as a church, reach out to our brothers and sisters in this area. Let us reach out to people who are not brothers and sisters. Let us be those who draw them into the comfort of God. Let us also reach out to those folks in Sutherland, Texas. Let us share the comfort that our Creator has given us. Let's share it with them. The address to write them is 216 4th Street, Sutherland Springs, Texas. And we're going to send at least a letter. Maybe some of you will want to send cards individually. 216 4th Street, Sutherland Springs, Texas. Sutherland Springs, Texas. And the zip code there is 78161. It's the First Baptist Church in Sutherland Springs, Texas. Write a note of comfort to the pastor and the people there. And those who are listening to this on CD or online, I would hope that they would do the same. And maybe some of you can post it on Facebook and suggest that your friends do the same. That they could get bags of mail that say, "We're here with you. We are your brothers and sisters. You are not forgotten by God." Let them know we feel their pain. Let them know that we want them to be comforted. And let's also remember that it was an armed citizen who shot that man as he exited that building. Now, if there had been people in that building who were armed, that man would have been stopped before he wreaked the havoc that he wreaked on that congregation. And as I've said before, and I'll continue to say, I'm glad that we have people here who are willing and able to carry and bring a measure of protection to this congregation. And every adult here could be armed as far as I'm concerned. It's your right by God to protect yourself. In fact, it's your duty because Jesus instructed his followers to arm themselves. Just look at Luke chapter 22 and verse 36. He said, if you've got a cloak, it's better you sell your coat and buy a weapon. A sword was the weapon at the time. And that instruction comes down to each of us. Know that you're being obedient to your Savior because he said to do it. He told his disciples to arm themselves for self-protection. And when you're exercising self-protection, you are being obedient to your Savior. And every time one of these tragedies takes place, those people who would disarm the people of this country are out there pushing for gun control. It's not the guns, folks. It's the people. And if each and every one of us are sitting here and we had a gun, I don't care if it's over your shoulder or in your pocket. I don't care where it's at. If each of us had a gun, that wouldn't happen. Would not happen. Could not happen. And it infuriates me whenever I hear these people saying, we got to take the guns. The guns are the problem. Well, the guy who had the gun, and it happened to be one of those, AR-15s, the guy who came and got the bad guy, he, as I understand, had a rifle himself and he shot him as he was fleeing. Know that if you are armed, you are prepared to not only defend yourself, but your brothers and sisters who meet in this building. And let that comfort all of us as we continue to meet in this building. You know, there's people have been meeting in this building for nearly 150 years. 50 years ago, nobody would think that this was even possible. 100 years ago would have been a foreign thought. No way. Would anybody think that somebody would come into a holy sanctuary of God, a meeting place, a meeting house, whatever you want to call it, a church building? Nobody would have thought that. But here we are. Here we are at a time when nothing bars anybody from doing anything. In closing, I want to encourage you to stay true to Christ, first and foremost. Watch for his return, because he said he's coming back, folks. He said he's coming back, and we're to be watchful. He said, watch therefore, for you know not when the master returns. You do not know when he's coming. Be watchful. And that means you're not going to have your attention set on all these other things that distract you from Christ. Put your nose in the Bible. And I'm not trying to beat you up, folks, but the hour is late. We must know the Word of God. We must feed ourselves with the Word of God. If we want that comfort, if we want that peace, if we want the love of God to rule in our lives so that we can bring it to others, we must get it from His Word. Because the whole world's going to try to take it away from you. No matter what the world brings, as you watch for His return, don't let anyone, don't let anything take away the peace that you have in Christ. They can't take the grace of God away from you, but don't let them take the peace. Receive comfort from the Holy Ghost. He's our comforter. Allow our Creator to use you to share His message of hope wherever you are. As I said, we've got these engagers, these little things I just shared. Invite somebody else. Use it as a tool. Hey, we're going to be meeting next Sunday. Why don't you join us? Don't be afraid. It doesn't matter, folks, because there are eternal souls that hang in the balance, and Jesus Christ gave His life to buy those souls, and our job is to collect them for Him, and all we have to do is invite them. There are so many people that have said, they've been polled, and in those polls they've said, well, if somebody would ask me, sure, I'd go. We're not asking. We need to be asking people. Join us. We want you to join us. We want you to be a part of our fellowship. We will treat you like family, and we want you to be a part of that family. Remember, Almighty God's the God of all comfort. He comforts us in our tribulation, that we might be able to comfort others with the comfort that He comforts us with. Take that to heart, folks. Any comfort that you get from God is not just for you. You take it and you share it with others, because you can keep it too. It's one of those gifts you can give away, but you can still keep. We hear in 1 Thessalonians, I'm wrapping it up. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn all those who are unruly. They're out of line, you've got to tell them about it. That's what he says. Comfort the faint-hearted. And I would submit to you today that our brothers and sisters in Sutherland Springs, Texas, are faint-hearted right now. And we're to comfort them. Uphold the weak. Be patient with all. And in Romans 16:20, we hear, and the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet shortly. We know he's coming again. And when he comes, what a glorious day that'll be. He takes his saints and he crushes the enemy. Oh, there's a time span there, and there's a lot of things that will happen in between. But we know by this, Romans chapter 16 and verse 20, the God of peace will crush Satan. Hold on to that. And know that no matter what, you can hold on to that peace. You don't have to let it go, no matter what the circumstances are. Even if it was a horrible tragedy like the one that happened there in Texas last Sunday. So now let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are grieving with our brothers and sisters. We are grieving, Lord, that your church comes under persecution. And yet we know, Lord God, that there's a rallying call for all brothers and sisters to come together and to comfort one another with the comfort that you provide. Help us, Lord. Help us to remember that you will crush Satan under our feet, under the feet of Christ. We know this because your word says it. Help us to receive comfort from the Holy Ghost, who is our comforter. Use us to share your message of hope wherever we are, I pray in Christ's name, that we would draw other souls out of the darkness into the light, out of error into the truth, I pray. Amen. Now let's open our hymnals to number 151. Some of you will know this hymn. Number 151. Jesus is coming again. Number 151.
Hi, this is Batty. We invite you to visit with us next Sunday.
Please change us with your word today. Make us into fully committed servants.